Susan Campbell here with some staff from Loreto, continuing gathering positive stories around self-directed support. I'm here this morning with Kate Roebuck, who is the Deputy Service Manager in the service here, Noreen McCall, who's the Secretary, and Stephen O'Neill, who is the support worker. So I suppose I just want to start by asking, you know, what has self-directed support meant to this project? How's it been?
Well, it's been a positive experience. A lot of changes for staff as well, and how we need a flexible workforce,
yes.
Raising people's awareness of how things are changing within social care for the people that we work for and how that then impacts on the kind of service that we need to provide and the flexible workforce that we need to have to be able to provide that service.
Mm-hmm. That's right, I can understand that, Kate. How long have you been going through this process?
Since about October 2010, was it?
Yeah,
around about then that we started?
I started along the lines of personalisation and all that entails with regards to changing of paperwork, making the people who work for more aware of personalisation and their abilities to make choices as to how their support is run, what they want to achieve, their outcomes and stuff like that. So that was the kind of the starting block for ourselves, and I think it's over maybe the past year or so we've started talking about self-directed support,
mm-hmm.
and how the people who work there would have their own kind of budgets, and that money would be used to provide them the kind of support that they want, and so that they can then achieve their kind of outcomes and their wishes and their choices. And that was the kind of starting point, certainly for ourselves, and I'd say that's been going on for about 2 years now.
You know, we've always provided person-centred support.
Mm-hmm.
It was raising staff awareness of what personalisation mm-hmm. meant, and personalisation and self-directed support aren't the same thing, although they are linked.
Yes, similar.
You know that you can have a say in how your services are shaped, but you may not necessarily have self-directed support. And so raising the awareness of personalisation and then going on from that to start talking about individual budgets and how that changes things and how that there's a shift in power then
mm-hmm.
for the people who are in receipt of services, because they're not passive anymore, they've got more of a say in how their service is shaped and how it's delivered, and changing all our paperwork and getting people much more involved, and sometimes more involved than they even want to be initially. They might not necessarily want the level of involvement at times that they're wanting from them to shape their service.
Mm-hmm. Because it was the shift.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there have been maybe from years back, they're used to being told what kind of service, who they'll get their service from, what they're going to get support with, whereas we're discussing it with them. And then there's all the other things that throws up, like when we're having discussions about their outcomes and the difference in views of what people want and what they need as well.
Yeah, so a lot of balancing acts.
Yeah.
I think we've been kind of going along the process, and even though we kind of started this about 2 years ago, I think it's fair to say that even before that, maybe unconsciously we were doing that because we broke up into teams, so that what we did is we provided support for people out in the community and also around the project, but with kind of smaller teams that allowed them to kind of choose who they wanted to support.
Mm-hmm. More consistency.
Yeah, build up relationships, good working relationships with the staff team and also the people we work for. So I think unconsciously we're actually doing that,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
as I say, there was a lot of changes in paperwork and stuff like that, because I don't think our paperwork reflected very well personalisation and the choices that they could make and
mm-hmm.
how they were going to achieve it. It was there in the kind of background. I think now, because of the whole personalisation, the whole self-directed support now, it's the focus is on it now, and also the need for staff to be aware of it, and also for obviously the people support as well, which is important.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's kind of started over a longer period of time. We were probably just not aware that we were doing it. You know, a lot of the actions, a lot of the work that we carried out was to a certain degree personalised. It was looking at what they wanted to achieve, what they wanted to do. The words like personalisation and self-directed support hadn't actually come into focus. We were, I suppose it's fair to say, carrying that out already.
Yes.
We just didn't
mm-hmm.
realise that we were carrying that out.
Person-centred planning is very, very similar
yes.
to personalisation.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's certainly, we are aware that people have much more choice
yes.
about their service now. And I think people are also gradually becoming aware that they have a lot more choices And they can pick and choose who they want to support them. They can pick and choose what they want to do with their individual budget.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's got to be all for their care or whether they want to set some aside for possibly something else they want, like
holidays,
a holiday. Or there are other choices which are open to them, which actually none of the people here have taken advantage of yet, but they could have technology, which would mean they might, you know, more flexibility of support. They might not need to see somebody in person every day.
Yes.
That would be an option. It would be open to people that they could have longer periods of time without seeing somebody, and then equally longer periods of time when they do have somebody to go and do something a bit more meaningful than just have a wellbeing check or something like that. We actually have one person who does use his budget like that when he's keeping well. He just has short visits, and then he will have longer periods of time when he has support to do other things that he likes to do.
So how did the staff team respond to the changes then? How did it go?
Initially, it's fair to say, probably there was... We'd done things like we changed rotas to find better rotas. We changed our working week. And I think initially it was difficult for staff to move from this strict rota that was almost set in stone to being a bit more flexible. And we now have, the staff have some hours that are flexible contract and hours that are banked and can be used to go and help people achieve outcomes. Like if somebody has a staff member owes 8 to 10 hours or something, that they'll come in and say, maybe one of the people that we work for would like to go away for a weekend or something like that. Well, I could go and do that with them, and they can, I can use up my hours, and they're going to save up, they're going to bank some of their support hours. They don't want, for example, 20 hours of support for the next 4 weeks. They only want to have 15 hours, and then they're going to go away and have a weekend away, and I'll use the hours that I owe, plus I'll maybe work some hours in advance. And working flexibly, we've changed. We have a lot more part-time staff now, and that gives us flexibility, and we have relief staff as well that we use, our own relief staff that we use as well, so people can work part-time. They have kind of part-time contracts for maybe like 24 hours, but they can top that up with an extra 2 days a week at relief rate. So to give us a more flexible workforce, that we have got like core hours, flexible working hours that I've described, and part full-time, part-time staff. And we're always open to ideas from staff or for anybody in any ways that we can kind of add to and be more creative with staff, you know, so that we have the people to go out and provide the support the way it's wanted.
What about from your perspective, Stephen, as a support worker, how was it?
I think, like everything else, change is difficult. It takes time to adjust, adapt, and it can be very, very difficult. I think there's no doubt about that. Especially when you think in terms of the, you know, the kind of current financial climate that we find ourselves as well. And it takes time, and it just takes time. I think everything that Kate said there is totally true, is in terms of flexible contracted hours. Because of changes in our kind of terms and conditions, we went from 35 hours to 37.5 hours. But what we did here is we stayed at 35 hours, which allowed 2.5 hours or so to build up each week. So over a kind of 6 week rota, staff would bank, say, 9 hours or so, which would be used as a flexible contracted hours, which then can be adapted to the kind of people that we work for, to give them that extra support if they want to go and do something like, as I say, if it's a day trip, or even if it's just for a couple of hours. But also I think that because of the kind of complex needs that we have here, there is obviously the opportunity to make sure that if they are unwell, that they need it, and they need that little bit more kind of one-to-one personal support to help them through a difficult situation, that it's also there as well. But as I say, other changes like paperwork as well, because we were used to using staff guidelines, and we moved kind of away from that and started using personalisation, where, like I said before, it allowed people we work for to make their own choices as to what they wanted to achieve and how they wanted to achieve it, and basically how we as a staff team would allow them to achieve that, you know, assess, risk assess it, have involvement. Other members of agencies and multidisciplinary team that were involved in their care as well. So, there was a lot of kind of changes there for staff to adapt to. And as I say, I think like everything else, it takes time, especially when you're working with vulnerable people, when you're working in a care sector where it's people that you're working with. It's not machines, it's people, and everybody's different because of the different feelings, emotions, personalities that they have here. It does take time, but it also allows you to build up kind of good working relationships with obviously your staff team, but also with the people we work for as well. So initially I think it was difficult, I think there's no doubt about that, but when you see the improvements and the increase in choice that these individuals have, the people we work for, it can be all worthwhile, and you can see why self-directed support and personalisation working together can make a huge difference to each individual.
And I think what's important as well, that while people know they have a choice and they could choose anybody else, we've never yet had one person come and say to us, I don't want you supporting me anymore, I want to go and have XYZ supporting me. While we, you know, when we speak to them, we ask them, we do like quality assurance checks and ask people what they think of the service and if we could change it in any way or what could we do. And you do know that you could go anywhere for your support. Would you like this? That would be something you'd be thinking about. Would you like to do that? No. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. And so that's all. Like good positive for us, you know, that we haven't had people, anybody, you know, but not anybody. That to me is, well, it's a sign that we're doing something right. we've got it right, not perfect, but that we're on the right road with it.
Definitely. What about yourself, Noreen? What's the changes meant for you as a secretary then? Has there been...
Well, it hasn't really impacted on me. Obviously, I'm involved in it, because there was not much point in just sitting there and letting it go over your head. You have to know what's going on at the project.
But you have to know when people are and they want changes to their service, like to when
times are. Times
you,
or.
You can't say, well, no, sorry, that's not possible. But you have to accommodate.
I think through all of it, even for other organisations, their staff will have to be flexible, because I don't think it's regimented shifts. I don't think it would work, because they have, obviously it's their choice, so staff, and the staff here are, I know it was, the bedding in period was difficult, obviously, you know, your shifts, your rota has totally changed, and you've got to do extra hours, but it's worked well, and I think everybody's used to it now.
Because a lot for people to take on, you know, they're kind of, they've got to take away of all the things that why we're working like this now, because people have got more choice and control and saying what they want and who they want to support them. And they're when they've got, because staff need to have a work-life balance as well, and they want to have a work-life balance. And you're weighing that up with, you know, if we don't provide this, then... You know, the security of your job can be compromised, because if we can't provide the kind of service that people want, then they would think about, you know, that is a possibility, that people would think about going to somebody else who can provide the service when they want it and in whatever way they want it. So then, you know, that erodes away at your job security. So you've got all these things to kind of to weigh up and balance out.
And as Stephen was saying, in hard times...
In a hard financial climate,
But you said that you went through some training. You've been through training as well around this area.
Yes.
Did that help?
Very much so. We've not just training for staff either. We've had like information days for the people that we work for, so that they're kept up to speed with, well, explaining to them what self-directed support is, what an individual budget is, what an indicative budget is, and what happens with your budget, and how much, you know, what say you can have, and how do you want information, you know, fed back to you on, for example, how much of my budget have I spent for the year, and what can I do with my budget, and if I want to do this, how do I access funds? So we've had several information days and newsletters that we've put out to people, information letters for staff. We've had this is something from the training that we did for staff. We had several, we delivered it in several small groups to staff, explaining what is self-directed support, and it goes on. And this was something that the area care manager for the services drew up, this training, which was then delivered.
A leaflet with it, it's all broken down, step
by step. Very easy to understand as well.
That's excellent.
And I said to Susan, I'd send her the link on the work that Sue done, the personalisation.
Oh, the that she delivered this?
Because it's interesting.
And you know, just giving pointing people in the direction that they can go if they want to get more information. And it's you know, all staff, not all staff will understand it all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Some people need to hear it, you know, lots of times, and then they might go away and they might think about things, mm-hmm. and come back and ask about it again.
Absolutely.
And there will be continued training as we need to.
What would you say then in terms of the people that you work for? How is the transition for them? Maybe you had some open days, you've had leaflets, you've talked them through the process.
Mm-hmm.
How has that whole thing gone for
Loretto? It's difficult raising awareness with some people who were used to being very passive, and it can be difficult to understand what it means for them, because sometimes they don't even think about how is my support paid for. Sometimes in the past people haven't even maybe thought about who pays for this. It's there.
I think for them it's a kind of big change, because having been used to institutionalised care for so long, to come out in the community and then to be said, you can now choose what you want to do, mm-hmm. and you can make the choices yourself as to what you want to do, that's a big, big thing.
I think it was a bit scary for some people when you said things like that to them.
For a lot of people.
It's frightening, but depending on the type of person you work for as well.
Some of them
obviously are for us, mm-hmm. but in another service with people with different types of problem, I think it's going to be really difficult. If you're working with people who have drug and alcohol problems, well, it's going to be harder than it is going to be, I think.
Yeah.
It's the understanding of it for ours.
I think it's looking at the individuals as individuals rather than problems that they have. That's the big issue, I think as Noreen said, that's totally correct. Because depending on their issues, whether it's mental health, learning disabilities, drug and alcohol problems, homelessness, there's a lot of problems swirling about there. Mm-hmm. And it's being able to find the kind of support, the support team, the project, and I suppose people we work for who are prepared to look at their life and say, can I make a change in my life?
Mm-hmm.
How will I do this? Who's there to support me to do this? And I think it's a big thing. It's a lot of people working together all at the same time towards one goal, and that can be difficult, mm-hmm. because all it takes is just for one part of that to fall to the side, that then things can begin to fall apart. So I think if we talk in terms of the people who work for them, it's a big thing. There's no doubt about it. It's a very big thing. It takes time for them to understand it. I think if you can get the fundamentals right for them, where they know that they have choice, where they know they can make their own decisions, and there's people there to support them to make those decisions, where it's been risk assessed and it's been said, yeah, no problem. Why not take that little bit of risk, that calculated risk, to achieve that goal they want to, and they've got the support round about them to do that, then they feel they have a safety net there. They have people there that they can trust and are prepared to go that extra mile for them, because, you know, I know myself, it's difficult for me to make decisions in my own life and my family's life, so how much more difficult is it for somebody who has a particular issue or a problem then to make those decisions in their life? And it can be the most complicated thing in the world, but it can also be the most simple thing in the world.
That can cause somebody anxiety.
Yes, the issues and problems. And we don't think about it that way, so it's about stepping into their shoes, almost, and being able to say and look at them and say, right, how do we deal with this issue, this problem? How do we make it better for you? And that's the thing. And I think it's very, very easy to say, oh, I've got all these great plans for you and fantastic ideas, but sometimes it's the little simple things that make the big, big difference. And certainly we've found this here, that it's the little things that made the big difference for them.
That was very clear in Cathy's story.
Yeah,
one of the big things for her was being able to make a cup of tea when she wanted to. I've been able to go and make a cup of tea whenever I wanted to. That was one of the things she said.
Just having her own home.
I mean, even since I've been here, 5.5 years, what a change I've seen in the people that we work for. Not how their lives have changed dramatically with Loretto's. I mean, it's phenomenal changes. Well, you've spoken to some of them,
certainly,
how their lives have changed.
I mean, that's what I was saying earlier, that speaking to the people that you support, they're clearly very, very happy with the support they receive. They do feel listened to and respected, but they've also come from really quite dark places,
mm-hmm,
into
very much
so much better.
Yeah, where they had
now.
Choices were very limited to
absolutely
them.
If they had any at all, you know, so it's a complete turnaround.
Mm-hmm. Coming out and having choices, and then now, you know, getting more choices at times can be a bit, you know,
uh-huh,
too much for them,
uh-huh,
you know, to realise they've got so much choice and control in their lives, and other people are
but I think
really,
time,
you know, really excited by it. and have a lot of questions about it.
I think we're kind of fortunate in the fact that we've worked with him for quite some time now, and it's about building up those relationships with him. So there is trust there already. I think it would be more difficult for somebody who comes in fresh to the project and says, right, here I am on my own, in one flat, how do I deal with things? Mm-hmm. We're in the fortunate position that with a lot of people we work for out there, we've worked with them over a period of time already, so this trust has been built up, relationships have been built up, so they know, you know, where they are in their life and where they want to go to and what they want to achieve. So that's been kind of godsend in that respect. That it has made the transition, I think, a lot easier, rather than being in a situation where you have a group of people that have come together for the first time and working with people for the first time, and you think, what do we do now?
Yes.
You know, so that, I think that has made a big difference, because if you can have those kind of personal working relationships with people, it makes it a lot easier to build up trust, it makes it a lot easier to build confidence, whereas if you're coming in out of the blue, it does become very, very difficult, because you've got to build up that working relationship first of all, I think, before you can make that next step into saying, right, what do you want to do with your life? And that has been a kind of certainly a good thing for ourselves here, this project, and always has been, I have to say, because we have a good team.
We have a good team that doesn't change very much. And I hope that's a reflection on that. It's a fairly okay place to work. I mean, from my point of view, working for Loreto as an organisation is a really good thing. I've been with the organisation, I think, coming up on 13 years. And Stephen, you're probably there about the same length of time.
Yeah.
As an organisation, they're very supportive and very forward-thinking organisation.
I think it's unique with us here as well.
Here,
because Stephen and almost 90%, I would say, of the staff I've worked with him from the transition of being institutionalised into the community and built their lives out. So that's why they are where they are today. Because they've come from there and out into the community and worked for the same staff,
more or less.
See, that, I think that's so important.
It's very important.
Because the changes in staff is so unsettling.
Everyone, it is. I mean, can you think of how that must be yourself? People coming in to see you all the time. It must be, bad enough at times that you actually have to have support when you maybe don't even particularly want it. But, if there's just any one of 20 or 30 faces turning up on your door, but we've got staff broken down into small teams, but I think staff are generally happy working out here, and I think that's reflected in the number of staff that have left, which is two recently. One person just wanted to go to another place for a change.
Pursuing something totally different,
and
really.
Another person wanted a career change to work with young people. And previous to that, I think the last person who'd left had been a couple of years ago.
Very few. Well, that reflects on the Loreto.
And I think that there are,
the training that we get in Loreto is very extensive.
I think it's also,
which helps.
Also important as well. If you do not enjoy your job and you can't sit down and chat to your work colleagues, then there's no point doing the job. You have to be happy in your job to be able to carry out and to adapt and adjust and be flexible to do your job in the first place. So if you're in a situation where you're working with a certain client group or you're working with a certain team and you don't enjoy it, there is no point doing it. And that reflects in your work, and that reflects
and
in
the
work
people
practice,
we work with,
and
as well.
The people that you work for.
Impact on the service.
So
you have to have that team ethic. You can work as an individual, but you have to work as part of a team and enjoy that team. That's vastly important, I think. Because if you can't do that, then there's no point in doing it.
That's right.
You know, it has to be a pleasure to come to work. You must, you can't wake up and want to think, oh my God, here we go again.
And you're walking up that path.
Yes.
I don't want to be here. No, that's no good.
You need to have a smiley disposition. It's important to feel a team spirit
as well, where everybody values each other and respects each other, and we're all kind of working towards the same
goals, aren't they, really?
Well, we want the same things for people that we support that they want for themselves. And
the hopeful
and we
thing
want
is
more
that
than
if people, if other new people come in here and see how we work and our kind of our culture of work, then hopefully they say, well, this is not a bad place to be. Then, you know, maybe I can stay here for a certain amount of time. Maybe I can develop skills. Maybe I can develop my working relationships and deal with this particular client group. Maybe that says a lot for ourselves.
So I think the culture is important. That you know, the culture, I think the culture is in here. That you know, we enjoy working together and we can have a laugh, but the work still gets done.
And that whole positive culture impacts directly on people you work with, and the whole process you're going through with self-directed support, which is again probably why a lot of people I've spoken to have been so positive about it all. So it's. Self-directed support is something that you would recommend?
Definitely. And for people who want to have a lot more say, what they want out of life, what they want to achieve, and how they want to achieve it.
And the ball's now in their court,
really,
which is very important.
And I think that organisations will have to step up to the mark, or else we won't be wanting them.
Have a choice now.
People do.
Change is difficult for everybody, but we all get there.
They can vote with their budget, take their budget.
Yes.
Anything else you'd like to add before we finish up?
That's right.
Any last words?
The only thing I was, obviously you've spoken to the people, spoke to some, but you would get the same answers, and to me that reflects on our organisation, because we wouldn't be working for Loreto if we didn't like to work here, or as an organisation, it doesn't have to be here. So from my point of view, I think we're very lucky with the organisation that we work for as well, and that helps the people that we work for.
I just think that self-directed support just gives people more more power, and you know, that can only be a good thing for people who are in receipt of a service, that they're not just passive recipients of the service anymore.
I think it's fair to say that we are making a difference here. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's very, very difficult, but I think we are making a difference. And for some people, it's a big, big steps forward. For other people, it's small, small steps forward. However, you can see the difference there. But it's always challenging. Every day is not the same. Different things pop up from time to time. But it's being able to overcome those challenges and working closely with them. But as I say, I would certainly say it's not easy, but it can be very, very rewarding. And long may that continue.
And that anybody who came to us, you know, it's very soon staff member or, you know, someone who's coming to us with an individual budget would very quickly find they had a really good team round about them and they would feel part of all of that.
Well, thank you very much for all your time today. That was really helpful, really useful. Thank you.